In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, first of all, if you've got writings that are underlined and highlighted and italicized, that's not what is in Luisa's writings. I do this for myself because Jesus said, each word that I speak is a life. It's a divine life. And as we read it, he keeps on expanding our capacity. So what I normally do is getting ready for this, I highlight things that are important. I italicize some things that are that needs to be stressed. I underline things that need to be, proclaimed, and so when you see things, this is usually Luisa's writings had no underlining, no highlighting, no italicizing, nothing was bold. So excuse me. When I sent this out, I didn't send the original out. I sent the copy that I use. Okay. So just so that you know. Okay. So we're continuing with the Kingdom of the Divine Will, part four. There's three more parts to this, and this is a book that is getting ready for everyone. It's so essential that we begin to understand this life, this light, this love of God, this kingdom of God on earth in us as it is in heaven. So in volume 23, 1927. So this time is so essential for us to recognize that the time that we're in is Jesus is telling Luisa, it's short, number one, and the kingdom is coming. And we have to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all the world. And so Jesus says to Luisa, Luisa, my daughter, this little girl is the image of your soul. She, in her dream, in her vision, she had a picture of herself. She saw this little girl. And this is each and every one of us. Our soul is little. Our soul is nothing, really, basically. And it's everything. But compared to what God wants us to possess, he wants us to enter into him. We are that drop of water that the priest puts in the cup filled with wine. So Luisa sees herself as this little girl. And Jesus says it is timid in receiving what? This light, this knowledge of the divine will. This timidity is the fallen nature. We're supposed to be so close to our God that we're rejoicing, we're praising him, we're loving him, we're glorifying him. Like when we go to exposition and we kneel in front of the Lord and we sit back, we're timid. A lot of people, when they begin their hour of adoration, find that, what do I do? What do I say? And because we're so far from breathing in this I love you of God, in creation, breathing in this I love you of God of redemption. So this is her soul, but this is also our soul. We're timid with the Lord. She says, but I will drown you with so much light that you may lose what remains of the timidity of the human will. Because in my divine will, there aren't these weaknesses that the humanity has. I will give you courage and strength and divine, insurmountable and invincible life. There's not going to be any timidity. It's not going to be shy, this shyness with God. I want you to have courage. I want you to have strength. This is why Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to the church before I return is divine mercy. You're going to have the strength, the courage, this divine and insurmountable and invincible strength that we can always say to the Lord, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. So this new and divine way of holiness is very, very close. And it's already begun because of Luisa. So our timidity before God we're going to get in return God's strength, God's courage, God's insurmountable, invincible strength. And our weaknesses, our human weaknesses, are going to disappear. So, you know, a lot of people fight with the addictions that they're in, you know, whether it's food addiction or drug addiction, alcohol addiction, television is an addiction. You can't get into heaven with an addiction. That's why there's purgatory for most. Most people will have to be freed of their addictions. So Jesus is saying to us, I get ready for what I'm going to do. Get ready, start to live this abundant life that I breathe into Louisa. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn. And I want you, this is what Jesus says to us. I want you to have the courage, have the strength, because Louisa was also timid at one point. But because of this light, this life of the divine will, you're going to lose that timidity, that shyness before God. So in order to form the kingdom of my divine fiat in the soul, I, God, lay all the knowledges about the divine will within their soul. Okay, so this is what Jesus is doing with us. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, as God forms the kingdom in us, he says all the foundations are there, little by little. And again, a foundation isn't like, oh, I've got it. How long does it take to build a house? How long does it take to plow a field? You know, how long does it take? What's the foundation of a crop? What's the foundation of a mansion? He says, and then I, God, take possession. See, he's forming this for himself. As Our Lady was formed to be the mother of God, Theotokos, from her Immaculate Conception, Jesus is now saying, I've got to form each and every one of us. I want you, he says to Louisa, to become my bearer, to bear me, Jesus says, to give life to me, to all in humanity, all your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. I want this life to be given to you. This is that drop of water put into the cup filled with wine. That drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to do this with you. He says, because I want you to take possession of this, because once you possess this, I can then you can present it to me and I take possession, and that laying my very life within that soul in order to have my true kingdom. So what is the kingdom of God? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And thank God we're Catholic. We have this opportunity to learn more about what the saints have said about the Blessed Mother. Now, if we love the Blessed Mother, this is something that is so important. This gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, is our life. This new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied, quoting St. Honorable de Francia, that's Louisa's spiritual director. So he says, see how great is the difference between the kingdom of the kings of the earth and my kingdom. So all we know at this point is the kingdoms of the earth. The kingdoms of the earth, a lot of the kings were not good to the people. He says, kings of earth do not place their own lives at the disposal of each individual, nor do they enclose it in them, nor do they enclose the life of the peoples within themselves. And therefore, their reigning is subject to ending because it's not continuous life that runs between one and the other. But there are laws and impositions. And where there is no life, Jesus says, there is no love nor true reigning. So that's why Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Our Lady's Queen of Heaven and Earth. This life is true reigning. It's true life. It's abundant life. Now think about what Jesus tells Louisa. He's waited 6,000 years to bring sanctification to humanity. Now the saints became saints by doing the will of God. Okay. And what's great about doing the will of God is you're beginning to learn not to do anything for yourself. It's all for the glory of God. It's all for the kingdom of God. And therefore, what does Jesus say? He says, my command to you is that you love one another. No wars are supposed to happen. Everyone is supposed to live the peace, joy, and the happiness of God. And until we turn back to God, until we turn back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Queen of Heaven and Earth, there's not going to be true living. There's not going to be true life, because the true love is not there. So that's the kingdom that we're in now is not true reigning. It's not eternal. So on the other hand, the kingdom of my divine will is a kingdom of divine life. It's divine life of the creator enclosed within the creature and that of the creature and transfused and identified with God, the creator. Transfused. God gives us, you know, this transfusion of life, of love, of light. And therefore, then with this blood of God, if you want to say, reigning in us, we can identify with God. We little by little enter into God's likeness. Through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And now with this gift of gifts, we enter into God's likeness. Therefore, the kingdom of my divine will is of unreachable height and divine nobility. Adam was naked, Jesus says, because he lost the divine nobility, the clothing of heaven. And here, God is showing us that he wants to reclothe us in divine nobility, entering into unreachable height that humans at this point can't. The saints were good and holy and saintly, done on a human sanctity. God is saying to us, get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. God is saying to us, get ready for what I, the Lord God, am going to do, and my mother, what the two of us are going to do to bring you into this new and divine way of holiness. Adam and Eve failed. And for 4,000 years, basically the prayers of the prophets and the judges and the kings, after 4,000 years, Jesus, the Messiah, was born. When Our Lady was conceived, when Our Lady was born, finally, here is the one that can give birth to God, to bring God to the earth again. They found one worthy to do this. And so what's really glorious is now 2,000 years later, God is saying, now I want people to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. And so he says, we found the one who can do this, Louisa. As you read about Louisa, as you study Louisa, it becomes very obvious that there isn't a saint like her. She was called Louisa La Santa when she was alive. And Father Bucci says that the world and the church is going to recognize Louisa as the saint of the divine will, the one that we want to follow, lead us to living in the kingdom of God, of Jesus and Mary. Unreachable height, divine nobility. So he says, when this happens, the soul is constituted queen. And do you know what she is made? This queen is made of? Okay, so here now God is saying this divine nobility is coming back to humanity. It's what is this queen? It's the queen of sanctity, the queen of love, the queen of beauty, the queen of light, the queen of goodness, the queen of grace. In sum, the queen of the divine life and all of the divine qualities. That's Jesus and Mary, the king and queen. He wants us to begin to live this life of Jesus and Mary. So when you think of, when you hear of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, what is that triumph? We become like her son and like her, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is the triumph. This is what's coming. It's not about just being good and holy and saintly like the saints. It's to go beyond what the saints have been given. Why? They didn't have sanctification. They didn't have the third fiat. So Jesus has breathed this third fiat into Louisa. She's put it down on paper. So as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, we become aware of this divine, this new and divine way of holiness. What a noble kingdom, Jesus says. Full of divine life is this kingdom of my divine will. Now, I see the great necessity of the knowledges about the divine, about this kingdom. So Jesus says, Are you beginning to understand why it's necessary to read? You're learning the lessons that Jesus taught Louisa. And they're not only the fundamental part, but the nourishment, the regime, the order, the laws, the beautiful music, the joys, the happinesses of my kingdom. See, he wants us to begin to fully participate in this kingdom. Remember that Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. As you read, as you study, you nourish yourself. The regime, the divine order, the divine laws, the beautiful divine music, the divine joys, the divine happiness of the kingdom of God on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. When you meet the souls living in the divine will, they're happy. Why are they happy? We're tasting this new and divine way of holiness. We're beginning to live this new and divine way of holiness. So each knowledge, each truth, each lesson that Jesus is giving us possesses a distinct happiness. And they are like many divine keys that shall form the beautiful harmony of living in the divine will. We haven't seen anything yet. See, as we read, a lot of people say, oh, I'm reading and I'm changing and I'm so happy. I'm living in the divine will. Yes, until you're worried, until you're fearful, until you're anxious, until you're complaining, until you're negative, until you're doubting. Until you're agitated. Once that happens, you're out of the divine will. Jesus says to Louisa, my life is a life of peace, order, and tranquility. My life is a life of joy and happiness. There's no worry. There's no fear. So Jesus says to us, I want you to go through the martyrdom of martyrdoms. That is, and everybody goes, oh, I don't want to suffer. Well, the martyrdom of martyrdoms is no more worry. I trust in Jesus. No more sadness. I trust in Jesus. No more anger. I trust in you, Jesus. No more negativity. I trust in you, Jesus. All the vices start disappearing. Why? Because you're beginning to live the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Now that fullness isn't here yet. Jesus says that's going to be a great miracle, a great day that's coming. When that day comes, Jesus says, the earth is going to shake. The earth is going to become awakened. Each knowledge possesses a distinct happiness, and they are like many divine keys that form the beautiful harmony in the kingdom. See, Jesus loves us so much. Each one of us has our own instrument, if you want to say, our own voice. Why? He wants this orchestra, this beautiful harmony and reigning in heaven. But he says you have to begin it here on earth. The peace, the joy, the happiness has to begin here. And that's the sad part about today is there's a lot of doom and gloom out there. And what I love to see is if you're reading the book of heaven and you hear things, if it's in the book of heaven, I'd be concerned about it. But if it's not in the book of heaven, just keep on reading the book of heaven. The evil one wants us to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, doubting. He wants us angry. He wants us upset. He wants us disturbed. These knowledges possess a distinct happiness of heaven, and they are like many divine keys, these notes that shall form the beautiful harmony in the kingdom. And this, Jesus says, is why I am abounding so much in telling you, Louisa, so many knowledges about my divine fiat. And as we read the book of heaven given to Louisa, we are entering into these knowledges, these truths, these lessons about the divine fiat. And there is nothing more beautiful than this. This is the new and divine way of holiness. So he says very clearly, and I, God, require of you, and he's talking to Louisa, now talking to us, the greatest intention in manifesting them. How do we manifest the gifts? By living it. Living a life of peace. Living a life of joy. Living a life of happiness. Saying, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. There's a lot of doom and gloom out there. Get back to the divine mercy. Get back to praying the 3 o'clock prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. So he says, I require as God that you give the greatest attention to manifesting these gifts, to begin to live these gifts, because they are the base. This is the foundation, peace, joy, and happiness. They are like a formidable army. And God has asked us, we've heard before, I want you to become part of my army, the divine army. And he says, your weapons are going to be weapons of love. It's not a war of blood. It's a war of love that God is going to win. And he's asked us to be part of this army, this formidable army. And he says, that shall keep the defense, that shall act as sentries, so that my kingdom may be the most beautiful, the holiest one, the most perfect echo of the fatherland. So the first thing he says is, I want you to echo the writings. That's what Jesus says, to reflect these writings, to be the mirror of these writings. So in volume 23, 10, 20, 19, 27, Louisa speaks. She says, how can the creature ever dispose themselves in order to receive a kingdom so great? This is like every question that Louisa had, Jesus says at the end of her life, she says, I'm sorry for all my questions, all my doubts, all my worries. And Jesus said, you never had any. He says, these were the questions of those who would be reading the volumes. And I gave their question to you, Louisa, so that I can answer you. And by you putting down on paper, I am answering them. So what we've discovered, all your questions are answered in the book of heaven. If it's in the book of heaven, I believe it. Now there's a lot of locutions and apparitions and visions. If Jesus mentions those, I believe it. And to Louisa, watch how all the worry, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the doubts, it's like water off a duck's back. They're gone. Because why? We trust in him. We believe in him and his mother. She says, how can the creature dispose of us? How can we receive the merit of a kingdom so holy? And Jesus says, my little daughter, you must know that our divine love gushes out in creation. When God said, fiat lux, the universe began. And we're finding out the universe is very big. It's not just our world. It's enormous. It says, gushed out in creation and overflowing outside of ourselves without anyone having merited such a good. Not even a single word did anybody say. Our highest good, goodness, our liberality with no limits, created the whole machine of the universe with such magnificence, order, and harmony and love for one, Adam, the one who did not yet exist. See, the ultimate gift of creation is humanity. And this is why the devil hates us. This is why the devil is trying to kill us all, convincing us to abort our children, convincing us to euthanize the elderly, convincing us life doesn't mean anything. What's more important is the air. What's more important is the water. What's more important is the animals. They're more important than humans. Well, we'll save the eggs of an eagle, but kill a child, fine. It's everything's upside down. The highest order of creation is humanity. He says, God did this for one, for Adam and his children, who did not yet exist. After this, Jesus says, see, this is why I love reading the book. You're beginning to understand the basics of why we love God. He says, our divine love gushed out more strongly. And then we created Adam, the one for whom all the things have been created. And since in operating, we operate always with unreachable magnanimity. While we are not yet depleted, we're never depleted. We give everything so that nothing of the magnanimity of the greatness of all the goods may be lacking to our divine work in creating Adam with no merit at all on his part as a dowry. He's saying you're going to be married to God, a foundation, a substance of all the goods, all the joys, all the happinesses that we gave Adam, our divine will as his kingdom. so that he, Adam, may lack nothing and have a divine will at his disposal. With it, he also has our supreme being, image and likeness of God. See, this is why we love God. He wants us to be in his image. He wants us to be in his likeness. He wants us to enjoy the beatific vision. That's why we were created. What honor would ours have been if the work of creation had been poor, meager, and light, without the multiplicity of so many created things, without order, without harmony. Our dear jewel, our dear son, that is Adam, if he didn't have the fullness of the goods of the one God who created him, it would not have been our honor for one who possesses everything that's God and can do everything that's God and do an incomplete work. See, he wants us, he created us to be in his image and likeness. And that's what sanctification is. Through the Holy Church, baptism is the enter into God's image. And we learn through the sacraments and sacramentals, the medicines that God has given to the church. He knows we have been redeemed, but he knows also that the devil has still been in charge. He wants the evil one to see the great saints who have given up everything to begin to enter into the image of God. And now he wants the evil one to see the great saints of living in the divine will who are now going to enter into the likeness of God. That's us, hopefully. That's why we read. I want to know more of this. I want to learn more of how to do this as Luisa did. He says, more so since in gushing out are very strong, so very strongly as more than mighty waves. He says, our love wanted to give. Our love wanted to show off as much as it could to the point of filling our beloved jewel, Adam and his children, with all the possible and all imaginable goods, forming these oceans around him, oceans of love, oceans of light, oceans of life, placing in Adam by his creator, that would overflow from himself, from God to Adam. If man lost this, it is he who rejected it by doing his own human will. The kingdom of my divine will, his dowry and the substance of his happiness. So Adam said, I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to be faithful to God. He rejected what God wanted. You can have everything, but don't eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. And the devil says, hey, you can do it. God said, if you eat of that fruit, you will die that day. And he died at 930 years old. He died that day. A day at that time was like 1,000 years. 1,000 years was like a day. That's coming back. You have to understand, our eye has not seen, our ear has not heard what God is going to do. We're going back to where Adam was before the fall. Remember, all the animals in paradise are still living. Nothing's dead. Nothing's inanimate in paradise. But Adam couldn't be there because he listened to the evil one. He had to come to earth. Why? Jesus says, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. And we've been under the thumb of the evil one for 6,000 years. What does John Paul II say? He said for 27 years, get ready for the third millennium. That's the seventh millennium. Get ready for the third millennium, for the glory of the church and the new springtime of mankind. A new beginning is coming. And while he was still alive, he says, we're entering a new and divine way of holiness. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be anxious about. Get closer to God. And the way that we can get closer to God than anything is following the life that God breathed into Luisa. The kingdom of my divine will. Returning the dowry, the substance of God's happiness in us. Jesus says, now, as in creation, and that's why we pray the round of creation, my love is gushing out strongly and decided the kingdom of my divine will wants its life in the midst of creatures. Therefore, showing off with all magnificence, without looking at their merits, with insuperable magnanimity, it wants to give its kingdom again. See, that's where we are. We're going back to what God wanted from the beginning, 6,000 years ago. Only it wants creatures to know this. He wants us to know this. He wants us to know its goods so that in knowing them, this is why he gave us the book of heaven, they might long for and want the kingdom of sanctity, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of happiness. Now, what happened in Jesus's time? It'll happen basically the same way. The Pharisees and the Sadducees knew the kingdom was coming, but they didn't care. The Essenes went and left basically Jerusalem, went out into the desert. Why? They longed for the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. Andrew ran to Peter. We found the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah. That's what the little children of the Holy Divine Will have. It's the same thing. We wanting, longing for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And as you read, as you study, you begin to know these goods. And by knowing them, we long for it. And we want the kingdom of divine sanctity, divine light, divine happiness. It becomes our life. Yes, there's waves all around us, but we're focused on Jesus and Mary. And just as Adam, the one who rejected the divine will, so may one other, another one, Louisa, Jesus is telling us, she's going to call for it. She's going to long for it. She's going to press it to come. She's going to come to reign in the midst of humanity. See, Jesus and Mary got everything ready through redemption. And then they had to find a soul born of original sin who they could give this life to. He says, just as the human rejected it, Adam, it will be a human that will call for it. And the Lord is offering this to us because of what God is giving to Louisa. Here then is the necessity of the knowledges about my divine will. If a good is not known, it is neither wanted nor loved. Therefore, the knowledges shall be the messengers. These truths shall be the heralds. These lessons shall announce my kingdom. As we read, as we study, as we put this in the back, this is why we have the Day of Recollection every month. We have to begin to recollect what is God, why are we alive today? It's to get ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of the Our Father. So he says, my knowledge is about my fiat shall take the attitude now of suns in the sky. I mean, this is magnificent. Now as thunders of bolts of light, now as mighty winds that shall call the attention of the learned and of the ignorant, of the good and also of the evil ones, and falling into their hearts like lightnings. See, he says before, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning. Now God is doing this. He says, you think you're great? God says to the evil one, watch what I'm going to do. You think you've won? Watch what I'm going to do. And knocking them down with irresistible strength to make them rise again. See, it's born again to the good of the knowledges acquired. The more we understand the truths, the more we understand these lessons, the more we understand this life that God wants to breathe in us, the more we will want it. Read the calendar every day. You will never be the same. They shall form the true renewal of the world. Remember, everybody says, we need another renewal. It's God that's going to do this in us. And they shall assume all the attitudes in order to attract and win humanity, taking the attitude now of peacemakers. That's the first thing. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, bring peace to the earth, who want the kiss of the creatures to be given to give them their own, so as to forget, listen to this, all about the past, and to remember only to love each other and to make each other happy. Evil is going to be gone. Evil is going to be banished. The kingdom is coming. So God is saying to us, how do you want to live? Do you want to live a life of heaven, or do you want to continue to live a life of hell? It's what is he saying? He's saying, I want you to receive the kiss. This is the wedding feast of God and man. He says to forget about the past. When you make a good act of contrition, when you make a good confession, you are full of grace. The past is gone with the absolution of the priest. Forget about the past. Remember only now to love one another, only now to make each other happy. Now of warriors, of the sure victory, this is the army, of the sure victory, to render sure the conquest that they want to make of those who come to know these truths. Now the incessant prayers, the longing for the kingdom, the praying with confidence that God is going to do this. Ask, believe that you will receive it, and it is yours. That shall cease to supplicate only when creatures conquered by the knowledges of my divine will shall say, Lord, you have won. We are now pray to your kingdom. You're coming for us. We're the prey of your kingdom. Now of king, dominated and inspired in love, and such that they shall lower their foreheads to let themselves be dominated. That's what we do when we genuflect it, when we go to church. It's not just bouncing off your knee and sitting in the church and talking to somebody next to you. Jesus is teaching us to kneel in front of the Lord and say, you are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You're my all. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to dominate me. I want your life in me. That's Adam said, I don't want your life. 6,000 years ago, he said that. 2,000 years ago, Jesus says, take my life. This is my body. This is my blood. Our Lady with him on Calvary. Now, 2,000 years later, I want to be dominated by the Lord, my God, my Master, my King, my Savior. And then he says, what shall my divine will not do? We haven't seen anything yet. It's only the beginning. God, each day as you read, there's no end to this. This goes on for all eternity. This peace, this joy, this happiness. And he keeps on expanding our understanding of what our God is, who our God is, why he wants us to be in his love. Then with a more tender emphasis, Jesus added, oh, my will, how lovable, how adorable, how admirable, how powerful you are. He wants us to echo him. Oh, divine will, how lovable, admirable, powerful you are. Your beauty enamors the heavens and maintains the enchantment that enraptures the whole celestial core in such a way that you are happy not to be able to remove their gazes from you. See, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, do we look at the Lord? Do we see him being exposed in the Blessed Sacrament? Exposition. That we don't want to remove our gazes from him. Are we looking at him? Are we falling in love with him in such a way they are happy not to be able to remove their gazes from you, Lord Jesus? Oh, please, with your enchanting beauty that enraptures everything, enrapture the earth with love, and with your sweet enchantment, all humanity, so that one may be the divine will of everyone, past, present, and future. One may be the divine sanctity of everyone, past, present, and future. One may become the divine life of everyone in the divine will. One may become of your kingdom. One may become of the fiat of your earth on earth as it is in heaven. It's God wants us to enter into his image and likeness again. It goes beyond being saintly, good, and holy. That's what we've learned for 2,000 years, how to do the will of God. Now with the book of heaven, Jesus says, I want you to learn how to live in the will of God. Those who are reading know exactly what I'm saying. People say to me, you're getting close, Father, to what is really happening. I go, yeah, it's beyond me. It's beyond you. It's God. He wants us to live the divine will, the divine sanctity, the divine life, the divine kingdom. We want to enter into the third fiat of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. Vine 23, 6, excuse me, 11, 6, 19, 27. I was following the divine volition, accompanying all the acts that my sweet Jesus had done while being on earth. And he made them present to me, and I invested them with my I love you. See, that's the rounds. Accompanying all the acts that Jesus has done, he says, Jesus, as he made them present to me, we're learning everything that Jesus has done is repaired and redone everything. Everything that Our Lady has done is repaired and redone everything. He's asking us to enter accompanying all the acts that Jesus and Mary have done. That's why we pray the rosary. He says, I want to invest them. I want to invest them with my I love you, we say to Jesus. And I asked him with his very divine acts for the kingdom of the divine fiat. People say to me, well, I've done divine will. I'm living in the divine will. I'm doing my divine acts. You can't do divine acts. It's Jesus who has done them. It's Jesus who is doing them. And we're saying, Jesus, I want to repeat your breathing. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. I want to repeat your heart beating. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. I want to repeat your walking. Jesus, walk in my walking. I prayed him to apply my soul to everything that Jesus had done in the kingdom of redemption, to give me the grace to live always in his most holy divine will. That's our prayer. I pray the rounds to apply, that he apply to my soul everything that Jesus has done. I want to follow his life. I want to follow Mary's life, the new Adam and the new Eve. I want to live Jesus' life, live Mary's life. And my sweet Jesus, moving to my interior, told me, my daughter, the one who lives in my divine will does not descend from her origin, image and likeness. And since everything was created for those who would live in the divine will, all the goods of creation are hers. Everything in creation is ours. Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water is that I love you to us, and it belongs to us. This I love you belongs to us. And what the round does is, Jesus, you recognize this. Mary, you recognize this. Teach me how to give your I love you back to the Father, the perfect love of humanity. Those who would live in it, all the goods of creation are hers. They are more extensive than all the goods of redemption. There's all the I love yous of creation. Okay. It's this I love you. We breathe in, we breathe out. It's the same thing with the I love yous of redemption. Everything that Jesus and Mary went through. This is why he says, read the hours of the passion. Participate in what I have done for humanity. In fact, to one who maintains herself in the state of origin by living in the supreme fiat is due the state of queen. The royal divine royalty is coming back to humanity because of Jesus and Mary. And as queen, it befits her to possess, more so since she is a queen who it lives in the royal palace of our divine will. And he's talking about Louisa now. Therefore, it befits her to possess the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? It's the sons of heaven, the seas that the king himself, they live together with her. They making his queen happy, she makes her king happy. This is why the goods of creation were to be more extensive. Otherwise, how could hers be the state of queen if she did not have dominion and kingdom to dominate? You see what God is showing us? On the other hand, by not living in the divine will, the soul descends from her origin. The soul disennobles herself and places herself in the state of a servant. That's the saints. Therefore, no kingdom or empire befits her. More so, since we're in redemption of what Jesus and Mary went through, I, God, came to earth in order to resurrect man from the state of death, to heal mankind, to give mankind all possible remedies, to make mankind return to the first state of his origin, knowing that if he returned back to our divine will from which he came, he would already be prepared to maintaining this royal state of dominant, true sons and daughters of God. This is where we are. So we'll come back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.